Welcome to Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits. This is our 29th episode, and today we are doing a little bit of a mix. We had the idea of doing unpeated Islay scotches, which we thought would be kind of fun, but we could only find two of them. So we added a Jura from the Isle of Jura, which can only be reached by ferry from Islay. So we figured that
6 degrees of separation.
Yeah. So we will be doing Jura 7 Wood, Bunahaven 12, and the Classic Laddie from Bruichladdich. So we have some guests today. We have Glenda Pearson and Karen Eliason from Bauhaus. We are on Vashon Island, scenic Vashon Island in Puget Sound. And Glenda and Karen own a sanctuary for domestic farm animals. And I'll let Glenda tell you just a brief bit about that.
Thank you, Marlis. Bauhaus was established in 1997, and we checked with the other dog and cat rescue group out here and said, you know, was there ever any need for farm animals to be rehomed? And they thought for a while and said, well, 2 years ago, somebody was trying to place a goose. So we thought on our little property, which is just under 6 acres, oh, well, we could handle that load, you know, sounded okay. Well,
we're a goose.
Yeah.
A goose.
Yes. Sure. Well, so now we have about 40 geese, and altogether we have about 200 animals at Bauhaus. Lots of geese, lots of sheep. So that goes well with the Scottish theme here. So we're very happy to be here, and I'll just add that Vashon can only be reached by ferry as well. So
yeah,
it's very soon.
Isla of Vashon.
And we are meeting in the Mukai House.
Is that, yes.
Did I pronounce that properly?
Yes, you did. Should I?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
The early teens and 20s of the previous century, which makes it sound so long ago, Japanese immigrants began farming on Vashon, and I won't go into all the agony of the alien land laws and everything else, but one person who came here, B.D. Mukai, was extremely successful as a business person and a farmer. And he established the Mukai Farm and Garden. The garden part was the work of his second wife, Kuni Mukai. And as far as we and the National Park Service can determine, it's the only extant example of a Japanese garden created by a woman immigrant from Japan. So it had this unique combination of this beautiful garden and then the raw hard work of farming, fruit processing, and so forth. They managed to come through World War II fairly unscathed. It was the only Japanese family on the island that was not incarcerated. They did have to leave, and they ended up in Idaho, where B.D. Mukai's son began immediately to farm and invent a new lettuce seed planting system, and the family was very entrepreneurial. And so they were in Idaho along the Snake River, and when the war was over, they were able to come back to Vashon and reestablish their business. And their main business was fruit processing, and one of the interesting buildings here is the fruit barreling plant, which, according to King County historical folks, it's the only, it's one of the few, if not the last, agricultural building dating from the 1920s left in King County. Everything else has been torn down. So it's quite a historic site. It's open to the public, and we urge you to come visit it. There's all kinds of information signs. The garden has been mainly restored, and the house has been definitely reworked, and we will be restoring the fruit barrel plant in partnership with King County.
Cool. Cool. Thank you.
And we'll be putting some links into our notes for Bauhaus and for the Mukai House. And yeah, definitely come and visit. I want to come back to Vashon just to explore the island, because there's so many interesting things I keep pointing to as we drive along. And so we never come when we can stop and and do that.
Yeah, I think there is a distillery on the island.
Oh,
isn't
yes.
It? No?
There oh, was. No, I think did they're close, actually yeah. closed now.
Oh, never mind. And
lots of wineries, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I will add both the Mukai Farm and Garden and Bauhaus are 501c3 nonprofits. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Donations welcome.
Yes, definitely.
Great. Okay. So let's get together. So if all of our tasters here will pick up your glass of Jura and start to smell it, I'm going to say a little bit about it. The seven wood means that it has been influenced by seven select French and American oak barrels. So it's matured first in American white oak, an ex-bourbon barrel, and then in, and here we are challenging my high school French. The rest of it is French oak from Limousin, Tronquet, Allier, Vosges, Jupille, and Les Bretranges barrels. It is 42% alcohol, and Jura, the distillery was originally established in 1810, and of course, like many of the distilleries, has closed, open, mm-hmm. gone through various owners, and is now owned by a Philippine-based Emperador.
Mm. All right.
So, what are you finding in your aromas?
It's got a lovely aroma. I'm not sure what I can pick out from it, but it smells lovely.
Mm-hmm. Jura is one of my, I have a soft spot for it. When I came back from Scotland, where I learned to drink scotch, but really cheap scotch, this is one of the first, yeah, well, sort of. This was one of the first single malts I tasted, and I remember being so happy that, one, I could tell the difference. You know, it was a distinctive taste. It was just, I think, the regular 10-year, but had a definite taste of honey to it, mm-hmm. and it was like, so this is, I anticipate, will be different.
I'm sorry, does this have a year on it, or is it just?
No, it doesn't. Non-age, no age statement.
But it has a rare balance in depth.
Hmm. Yeah, so there.
Wow.
Okay.
So oh, you read so, that.
Yeah, I read that off. No, I don't have that kind of, you know, I don't have that in me. But does anyone, can anyone single out any various aromas?
My nose isn't working too well.
Yeah,
it does smell darker than like the regular Jura, you know, kind of like dark fruit, like raisin mm-hmm. or something, as opposed to the lighter, more floral scents.
Maybe a little vanilla.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Marlis has a cold for all you listeners, so
yeah,
she's not going to be great on the whole smelling thing and possibly the tasting. But
yeah, they all taste alike. Yeah. And it's a lovely, it's a nice gold amber color.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, all
amber color is great.
Nice.
Yeah, the Lattie is actually the lightest.
Yeah, the alcohol scent is pretty intense, but it also has kind of a sweetness to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Do we talk about legs?
Sure.
It's got
we love to talk about legs.
Oh, look at that.
Swirl yeah. those legs.
Swirl yeah. those legs.
Not overly viscous.
Mm-mm. No, it slides right back down really quickly. Okay. Time to taste.
Finally.
Mm-hmm. Does yours taste like a cough drop?
Brand of cough drop.
It has Ricola. But I haven't had one for at least 15 minutes.
Yeah, what does Jura taste like when you've had a Ricola cough drop?
It's got some heat to it. You know, it burns a little going down. You're supposed to be able to, it's supposed to have a rich and creamy texture with some coffee and chocolate. Toasted spice. Now I get the toasted spice.
Yeah, I don't get the creamy, but you know.
And even like some little cinnamon and black pepper in there.
Get the spice for sure.
Oranges, cloves, that kind of thing.
It kind of hits the front middle of my mouth
mm-hmm.
for flavor.
Definitely got tingly tongue.
Tingly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I like it though.
Yeah, no, it's a tasty little.
It is tasty. It's a. To me, I would prefer it with ice to water it down a tiny bit.
I think you're right. Yeah.
But otherwise, it tastes great.
Could you turn the label toward me for a second?
Sure.
Yeah. It's okay. That's all.
We're not on video, so we can pass the ball.
That's right.
It's interesting because, you know, from what I remember, The regular Jura is a little lighter, a little sweeter, a little more floral.
Yeah.
You know, and this has definitely got some of those low notes from all the different oak, evidently. Mm-hmm.
It's so, a little bitier than the other Jura that we had. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I like it.
It's going to put up a fight.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with doing these podcasts is that we rarely find one we really hate. So,
that's true. Scotch I hated.
Mm. Yeah. We can only think of two right off. So, out of all the ones we've done.
Wow.
Which we are compiling a spreadsheet. John is a spreadsheet of all of what's on each episode.
So we could remember.
Yeah. Well, we started so we could remember. Because we accidentally have done multiples, like we've done them in different episodes. But but John's going to put that up. So.
Kind of gone off to, I listened to your Jen episode. That was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I almost felt like we should be doing, some sort of Japanese inflected.
Oh, that's true. We could have done sake or Japanese whiskey. We did Japanese whiskey in our last episode.
Yeah.
I'm getting some salt at the end.
Mm-hmm. Well, and all of these are, facing the sea, basically.
Yeah. So they might have some brininess.
Briny.
I always love it when it says, taste of seaweed. I'm like, I hope not.
I like seaweed. Seaweed's not bad.
Sushi scotch.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Delicious. So is this the water test now, or?
Oh, no, now we're going to go to the Buddha
Hall. We do a complete run, and then we come back and do the water.
Got it. All right. Okay.
So next is the Buddha Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we shall cleanse our palace. Yes, we'll cleanse our palace as well. I don't know. Power wash it. With these lovely scone-looking...
Bannock. Scottish bannock.
Scottish bannock.
Hearty biscuit.
It is a hearty biscuit. And
flour. Pretty much the same recipe as the scotch. It's barley.
Mm-hmm.
Barley flour. So
nice. Better than our crunchy crackers that we sometimes have.
Which are noisy, too.
Really noisy.
These are quiet. That's good.
They are quiet.
So, John...
In the plus column.
Were you going to talk about the...
Yeah, just a couple things, really. I guess the name Bunahabhan means mouth of the river. Mm. And I was watching a YouTube video earlier, and they were talking about the river is underground. I haven't verified that, but that's what they were saying, and that struck me as kind of unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's pretty interesting, and I'll post links to some information on the Bunahabhan Distillery. I guess the Bunahabhan Distillery is unusual among its islet distilling brethren. This is reading from an article on Forbes. Notably, for the last 50-odd years, it has specialized in producing unpeated whiskies rather than the peat monsters that Islay's other distilleries have become world famous for crafting. I'm not going to go into a lot of detailed history about it because it's a lengthy article, but I'll make sure to post links to that in the notes.
And the bottle has a pretty picture of a captain at the helm.
Mm-hmm.
12 years.
Yes, this is a 12-year small batch distilled. And did you want me to...
What's the ABV?
46.3.
I think it's 46.3.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 46.3 ABV, and I actually looked it up on Master of Malt. Ooh. And it just says it's lightly peated for an Islay, and so it's light and fresh. We will see if we agree. And then after that, I'll tell you what they say you should be tasting.
Okay.
How about that?
So, it's much different.
Yeah, it smells sweeter than the Jura.
Mm. Yeah, it does.
Less alcohol.
Yeah. Even though it has a higher...
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Interesting.
Kind of floral?
That's very different.
Mm-hmm.
You actually can, I think, smell more of the sea in this one after you,
mm-hmm.
you smell this one.
Hmm.
Hmm. You pick up different aromas.
Wow.
And didn't the Bunahabhan 12 have sherry cask?
Maybe that's what I'm getting. It's a sherry.
Cask said it was aged.
It doesn't say on here. It just is saying that it, the finish is sherry.
Okay.
And something about a mochaccino. So, not quite sure what that is.
But it is natural colored and non chill filtered.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Marlos. I meant to mention that earlier and I forgot. So yeah, it's got a lovely color.
It's actually a little darker than the
I think it's the darkest
the
of the three. Yeah. Considering it's not colored, that's interesting.
Palest.
Oh, that's smooth.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And not as bitey.
It's not as bitey as the one that has the lower alcohol, which always fascinates me when they're, you know, they're able to do that.
But it may be older, too. You know, we don't, since there's no age statement on the Jura, we don't know how long it was in its various barrels.
So for the nose, Master of Malt is saying that it's fresh and sweet, seaweed and malt.
I didn't sweet and seaweed.
Yeah, I smell the sweet, but I don't smell the seaweed.
Peculiar in the...
What do you think, John? I always trust your nose with these things. You're usually good at that.
No.
I don't know. I'm getting, you know... Yeah, that sweetness is just really present, and I'm not smelling a ton of other things. I'm smelling the sherry, and I'm smelling the general sweetness to it, but not a whole lot of other aromas.
It is very tasty, though. I can say that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even with my impaired taste buds and nose, it's like, it's good.
And you know, we normally say how much we paid for ours. Do you remember what the Jura was?
With taxes and everything, and we've discussed that Washington is a high liquor tax state, it was about $99. So,
and the Bunahabin.
Bunahabin was $79 before taxes. I don't know what it was with tax.
Probably about the same.
Probably about the same, yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember what the Laddie was?
With tax, I think it was close to $79. Can't really remember for sure, but it's probably the cheapest.
So none of these are exceptionally cheap and are not like an everyday.
No,
none of them are everyday.
It is a Clan MacGregor.
So here's an anecdote. The Bunahabin is the first single malt that I ever tasted, thanks to Glenda, 30 years ago. And I thought it was delightful. And then a friend of hers contacted me kind of on the sly to see if there's something nice that she could get for Glenda in the Scotch category that might be... You know, something that Glenda liked. And so I said, I know she likes this. Not knowing that it was like setting her back probably five times what she expected to spend. But she did.
I was thinking like a bottle of Dewars.
Exactly.
That's what we gave you Ernest for Christmas or something. We picked you up some.
No, it's a delightful gift, just saying.
And the legs on this are it seems to be a little thicker. Than the Jura?
They're very long. If you slosh it around.
Yeah, the color is exceptionally pretty.
So. That's nice.
Yes. So we should have... Oh, my phone turned off. Palate, soft, supple, sherry, nutty. A little sweetness, malty, juicy sultana, slightly coastal.
I'll go for that. I think, sherry is what I was sensing when I said floral. I think it was more sherry. Just some sweetness. And complexity. Like you said, there's not too much more to call out, but it's not that it's not complex. It's just...
I mean, it's just very well... Everything fits together.
It is very balanced.
Yeah, it's balanced. Thank you.
That's a good word.
Good word.
That is a tasty scotch.
Goes well with the cough drop.
Does it pass the
Doesn't fight with the Ricola.
Good. Or the Bannock, which,
Bannock is not going to put up any argument.
I like the color of all three of these. This is the best. Very beautiful, golden.
Okay, who wants to introduce the classic Laddie?
Oh, okay. The most shocking thing about this one, sorry there's no video, is that it is a close approximation of Miami Vice.
The color.
Turquoise, I guess you'd call it. Not only is the box that color, but the bottle is also that color, so you can't see what
kind
you're
of
getting.
Neon turquoise.
We will post a picture of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can I jump in to say it's kind of a Tiffany blue, which we actually can't say mm-hmm. Tiffany blue because that is a registered trademark that Tiffany came up with.
It is
permission.
Well, Pantone actually sold them the rights to that color, and they gave it the number. Like 1827, I think, which was the year that Tiffany was founded. So it's that color is pretty darn special, just saying.
Okay.
But yeah, who knows?
They sold the rights to the
color,
brewery?
No, to Tiffany. But then the brewery is very careful not to be exactly that same color. But,
okay, we take it all.
Guess
very
what?
Similar.
It is.
Very similar.
Guess what? Yeah.
It is eye-catching. I think we can all agree.
It is eye-catching.
Yeah.
Okay.
Team turquoise.
Well, a little bit about the brewery. It was founded in 1881 by the Harvey brothers, who had a tough time.
The Harvey boys.
The Harvey boys, yeah. ups and downs, as is, was already mentioned. Mm-hmm. All these breweries, distilleries, have been sold and resold and closed and reopened. They sold to Remy Cointreau, interestingly, and then everything started coming up. Meadow Sweet, Myrtle, Mint, Spindrift, more about that later, Primrose, Cherry Blossoms, in other words, just about everything except roses. The master distiller originally was a fellow named Jim McEwen, and his goal, which remains true today, was to create a house style showcasing the distillery itself, and that's what we have here. Turquoise, classic laddie. It's known for its commitment, the brewery is known for its commitment to terroir, provenance, and weirdly, experimentation, so they try different kinds of things. 25% of the barley comes from the Islay, and the remaining 75% from other Scottish locations. The casks used to make it sound a bit on the mongrel side. Former bourbon, sherry, wine, rum, and port. Mm. This practice is given, I can't say the name of it, Brulotic.
Brulotic,
kind of a rebel reputation. It's trickle distilled. And spends its formative years on the shores of Lochendahl in premium American oak.
So here's something I'm just going to interject quickly. If you grab a bottle of this and look at the fine print on the back, on the bottom, you can actually look it up on their website, and they will tell you its entire life cycle, like where it came from, what little vat it was from, how many were made that are the same, how many bottles came out of it. And so, yeah, it has... It's kind of got its pedigree online.
It's genealogy.
It has a genealogy online.
Now,
yeah.
I can't remember. Either Brulotic or Bunnehabhain, one of them has a couple other labels, Port Charlotte and Octomore.
That's this.
And Brulotic, okay. And those are both peated.
Yes.
Yeah. Port Charlotte, we've tried that at one time. That's kind of normal peated, and then Octomore is evidently really
peated.
It's
probably like the peat monster or something. We got peat monster once.
Yeah,
that was when I really liked the heavily peated stuff. I don't like it so much anymore, but
refining your taste.
I guess so. Or I blew out my taste buds, or kind of like drinking too much IPA. You know, kind of blows
is there
up.
Such a thing? Too much IPA.
John doesn't think so.
No,
but,
there is
but,
not. It's a fact.
I'm more going down more to the pale ale.
Right.
There it is.
This is kind of interesting. It's practically legless.
It's much lighter in color.
Yeah, it is way lighter in color. Yeah.
They're a little bit of
Is there an age statement on it?
Pardon?
Is there an age?
No, they do not say.
Although if you look at its pedigree.
We know exactly how old it is given its little pedigree here. So when I looked it up, I'm sorry I didn't print it out, but yeah, it tells you who its parents were and everything else. So it was number 19 out of 124 in, it was born on June 5th of 2019. So that's when it was bottled. But as far as how long it's been in its... Actually, yeah, there's a whole page about that. Yeah. And you can tell it's good. It actually has like a little blog. You can tell it's good days that it had.
When the other scotches were mean to it.
Yeah. When let it play in the scotch games.
I don't like barrel pouring games.
The classic laddie.
Yeah. And this is the highest alcohol of the three.
Yes. And it has a bite to the aroma. Mm-hmm. And a lightness. I'm wondering if there's pineapple in here. That's what I'm wondering.
Oh, I hope.
I mean, not actual pineapple, but.
Well, we could add a pineapple.
It's amazing how different the aromas are on all three of these. Mm-hmm. They're extremely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of sweetness on this one.
Wow.
It's got more bite. Kind of like, whoop.
But I'm feeling it way back in the back of my throat. Yes. Yeah. In the middle or front, which is interesting.
The Jura, actually, my whole tongue was like tingly, but this is more at the back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. It's avoiding the pineapple death trap, which I appreciate. but it does have some fruit, kind of lighter citrus or...
Wow.
It doesn't have that dark cherry raisin feel like some of the other... Mm-hmm. You know, it's got kind of a...
No, it's not. It doesn't have that dark... aroma or flavor, and which bears to our first podcast. I don't think we actually published it because the one where we had them all in paper bags and we didn't know what we were tasting.
And then we realized it was a podcast. There was no visual, so that was kind of
it was pretty awful.
Yeah, so we didn't do that one, but
we reshot.
But if we would have these all, you know, in paper bags, we'd be able to say that, you know, we would think this one was lighter because it just tastes.
It feels lighter.
It feels lighter. Yeah, it doesn't have that.
But it's a little rough. It's, you know, spice you a little bit.
I'm feeling a little defensive about it.
I love the question that you guys sometimes ask about where can you picture yourself drinking this? Mm-hmm. And I think Glenn and I have just taken a canoe ride. And we've landed somewhere, and it's sunny, and we have just like landed on shore and poured ourselves a little dram of this, because it's not hot, you know, it's not hot but, weather, but maybe just something where you're
before you bother putting the tent up or
correct
and the storm blows in,
right? Mm-hmm.
Which today it very well could.
But it's, I think of scotch as kind of like cold weather drink. Maybe that's just me, but I think of it as like building your blood kind of drink.
Drink it all year round.
Yeah.
But this feels like a hot weather more, like, or not hot, but like maybe I'm warmer. Having
yeah, temperate, yeah, shall we say. Yeah.
Having
an
active
day, and the Bunahaben would be for later at night around the fire.
Yeah.
For sure. Sure.
Uh-huh.
And the Jura?
Maybe when you get a snake bite?
Yeah. Or after a really hard day of paddling and you need something to kind of, you know, whack you into shape.
Yeah.
Have some of that Jura.
Or you just hit each other with an oar.
The Jura just don't breathe toward the fire. Just
Woo!
Well, one kind of curious thing, it doesn't matter what we think of it, because listen to this. Once the whiskey has aged, the brewmaster butts in and chooses different casks to mix, so the bottles from one year to the next may differ in what they say are very subtle ways. So that makes it
that's why you
cool
have to have your pedigree.
Go look at the pedigree for your particular bottle.
Very interesting.
It's like adopting a manatee from the manatee rescue site or something. You get to know a little bit more about its background.
Anybody get any sea breeze or what we call zephyrs of Spindrift?
Zephyrs of Spindrift.
Oceans.
I can see that. Actually, if you were sea kayaking, this would be absolutely ideal.
Oh, God. What I meant to say was zephyrs of Spindrift.
That's right. Only I'm not going sea kayaking because I would fall over and seals would eat me or something.
Zephyrs of Doom.
Or transient orca pods would mistake me for a marine mammal, and that would be it.
This is very nice. Yeah. I mean, despite it, you know, being a little
different.
Different.
You can speak up.
No, I just really like it. I don't.
Me too. It's so different.
And there's no pineapple.
And there's no pineapple. No pineapple of death.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so pineapple's bad. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it is.
For her, it is.
It is racist.
Synonym for bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so very clean. aromas rise from your glass, zephyrs of spindrift.
Yes, they do.
And sea pinks, which is the name of a, was a name of a musical group.
Well, and it's a sea pinks? An armeria that is hard to get out of your garden once it takes over. But
oh, there would be.
Isn't those little?
We don't care about it anyway.
What?
Nothing.
We'll have to play it back later.
Oh, here it is. Here's your plant. Ameria maritima, maritime, flowering plant, evil, from the family Plumbaginaceae.
Goodness.
That's a mouthful. Oh, you like this part, though. Sadly, Karen's an avid gardener, it's rated vulnerable in terms of conservation status. Which all tells that our laddie is aged by the sea, in fact, on the edge of the Loch Indal. Indaal. Indaal. We just don't know about this language. At the far southwest corner of the island.
Ooh. Well, good.
Do you want to know what you're supposed to be smelling?
Sure.
But wait, there's more nose to come. After 5 minutes, and just a touch of Isla water, which I forgot to bring, sorry.
Isla water.
We get caramelized fruit aromas, lemon drops. Oh, that'll help you. And honey, tangerine, and tablet.
What is that? Aspirin?
Yes.
One of the tastes they identify in Lafroy, which is probably my favorite, is like, yo, and then it has that little hit of Novocaine. And I'm like,
really?
All right, not something I thought to look for.
I don't want to taste Novocaine. Yeah,
I wish to be reminded of a trick.
Actually, I love Lafroy.
I did try and find out what it meant, and Google had no idea.
Yeah.
So.
The Google is not always helpful.
Yeah, it can be unhelpful at some point.
Yeah, but it is more citrus than the others.
Yeah. Lighter for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
My throat feels warm.
It does. It's good. Me too.
It's not tingly, it's just warm.
So now we add just a itty bit of water.
And does anyone need more?
I'm going to go grab a bannock. I will be back to bannock you all.
Are we just trying to pour this butter? I'm going to actually put... Oh, I need more drill.
Are you telling me you don't have the glass?
No, I don't.
I didn't bring it. I actually have one of those at home. I'll have to throw it in.
We usually use.
I know.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
We usually use the a straw.
An ordinary straw. Yeah.
We do have a listener who suggested that we use a teaspoon.
Oh,
to make it more like so everybody would have the same amount. So we might want to think about doing it a little more organized.
Yeah.
But why should we be organized with?
I think
the
you need more. Oh, that's what you're doing. It's like you need more classic Glavy in that glass.
Yes, I really enjoyed the classic Glavy.
That's it.
I drank it all up.
I drank it
good. So we're just gonna we're doing an unscientific water pouring.
Yeah. Just a splash.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Dink. Bloop.
Oops. Kind of a bloop.
It's just water on the
tablecloth.
Well, I have to admit, until I got involved with this bunch of folks and read everything they had to say, that I liked my single malt one ice cube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And actually, when I'm drinking, not tasting like this, that's preferred.
Yeah, me too.
Small ice cube.
And I'm going to go with the guys from Whiskey Tribe and Whiskey Vault.
Oh, not
who say the best
four bros scotch or dummies?
No. Okay. The best scotch is the one you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the best way to drink it is the way you like it.
Nice.
Right.
Yay.
Do not be a scotch snob.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure to eat it.
Thank you. And can I have a little butter?
Yes, that's for sure.
You know, it's do not be a scotch snob.
Nice.
Even though it's hard when people put Lynchfield in scotch.
No, it was lemon, dear. Yeah. It was not orange peel.
Who did
that? I remember that, yeah.
She's looking at me. I just did it because the guy at the bar said, would you like a lemon in? I ordered a it's double doors on the rocks. Would you like a lemon in that? And I'm like, what?
Sure.
And he's like,
Linda, tell your story about your mom getting soda in hers.
Oh.
Oh, God. Soda.
Yes, and it, well, not just Yeah. Not just soda. Did I tell you this?
Yeah.
In a former life,
it made me.
My mother-in-law, who was an alcoholic, as was the father-in-law, my mother came to visit their house, and in an effort to be gracious and everything, well, what would you like to drink? So there was plenty around to drink, and she said, oh, do you have scotch? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She said, well, a little scotch and a little soda. And she was served this kind of slightly cloudy looking drink, and was cream soda.
Oh,
oh no.
Which wow. tells you a lot about this family that I wasn't involved in for more than another year, maybe.
Mistakes were made.
I can't stay with
in
this.
Every way.
No. We all make them.
We all make them.
But, cream soda.
So scotch and cream soda.
Yes, gracious.
Oh. You think?
Mm-hmm.
Any other soda would have been better. What is it we watch? Oh, the Kaminsky Method on Netflix.
That's right.
Michael Douglas. Yeah. His character drinks whiskey and Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And of course, his friend makes, who is Alan Ladd.
Yeah, I think so.
It makes big makes fun of him almost all the time about his drink.
Yeah,
I can't even drink Dr. Pepper.
I love Dr. Pepper, but I am from the South.
There is that.
There's a little part of me that wants to
try that,
but that's terrible.
It's like
we could do that.
Cough syrup.
No, it's not. When I was growing up in the cold weather, we would even like heat some Dr. Pepper on the stove, and we'd have warm or hot Dr. Pepper. It was good.
This really is a podcast about single malt scotch, not Dr. Pepper.
Okay. Yeah,
hot Dr. Pepper.
Okay, so now we're going to taste the Jura
with a little water,
and see if you notice any differences in the aroma. I almost said odor, which sounds like a bad thing. Aroma and flavor.
Oh yeah, I think it's mellowed it out a bit.
But the aroma kind of doesn't disappear, but it's less pronounced. It seems to me.
Yeah, it's a little milder.
Although my nose is not.
Yeah, it did definitely smooth it out, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this one probably great with some ice.
So this would be ideal with order it neat with one ice cube, and let the ice kind of
melt a little.
Now I'm getting kind of some little peat now. Is that possible?
A little bit, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
A little smokiness.
Well, yeah, we're a little.
Well, it says on the bottle. It says it has a hint of smoke.
Oh, okay.
Which we didn't get without the water.
I didn't notice it first.
Because again, it was kind of stabby. Oh, that's tasty.
Yeah.
Not quite as sweet as some of the others, but it's got that nice low, mellow tones.
Yeah, I mean, and I wouldn't expect something called Seven Wood to be horribly sweet.
Yeah.
I would expect it to be a little not sweet.
Dry.
I don't know. What?
Dry.
Dry.
Yeah.
Woody.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, dry.
Just not sweet.
Mm-hmm. It's maintaining its legs pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's like watching one of those wave machines.
I'm getting smoke, finally.
So I read an article about smoke versus peat, and I'm curious, and it must be much more to determine, because peat apparently tends things more toward a compost flavor, which is great, as opposed to more just like campfire.
Talisker.
Okay.
Which I really like.
Yeah.
Is when it, you drink it and the aftertaste is almost, for me, and everyone's taste buds are different, but for me, is almost pure tobacco. And I love it, even though I've never smoked and never really wanted to.
I saw you smoke a cigar once.
Did I?
I think you were drinking, but yes, I did.
Well, probably.
Okay.
Be that as it may.
I bet she didn't inhale.
No.
Right.
But just that, on the back of the tongue, that tobacco smell, taste is really lovely in Talisker.
Mm.
Though I have to say, it wasn't the whole cigar. It was just a couple. I have a picture of it. It's probably on Facebook.
Sometimes
I'm going to share it.
There you go. Maybe we can put a link to that one.
I know.
I'm just glad that I'm old enough that, so that most of the really embarrassing things I did were before Facebook. Thank God.
There you go.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to go
to
Bunahabhan.
Bunahabhan with a little water.
With a little water. Mm. The legs on this seem to have stood up to the water as well.
It's still tasty, but I don't think it needed the water.
Yeah.
It was already pretty smooth. Mm-hmm. But the water, I don't think, took away from it either.
Well, again,
it's still tasty.
It's hard to determine how much water each of us is putting
That's
in.
That's right.
This is not a scientific.
We really do need to monitor that part. Mm-hmm. Like have the same amount of scotch and the same amount of water.
You know that tastes diluted where the other one just tastes enhanced. Mm-hmm. Which is, I mean, I like the Jura a little bit better with a little bit of water in an ice cube. But this just tastes a little bit like it took the bite out of it. No.
Yeah, it still smells sweet, but I'm not getting as much of the sherry cask or
flavor
aroma from it. You know, yeah, the flavor's still there. It's a little milder, but it tastes good. But the aroma is missing some of the sherry that I got the first time.
Doesn't anybody?
That's true.
There's something really odd in the aroma for me. Is it cedar, maybe, or? This one's the one that has one American cask
No, that's a Jura. That's the beginning.
Okay,
one.
And then, that's right.
Yeah, and they're all oak.
French.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they go
there's something a little high pitched with this one. Yeah?
High pitched.
And I'm glad you said that.
That's it.
I tend to think of both wine and scotch in terms of high notes, low notes, medium notes. You know, and this one, with the water, kind of loses some of its medium to low notes.
I think I'm with you, yeah. It's not synesthesia, thank you. It's just...
It's not bad.
No.
It's just not as balanced as I think it was to start with.
I understand that part. The whole note thing.
The first one was better, I think, with a little bit of water. It took the alcohol... I just was kind of overcome by the alcohol scent on the Jura. Mm-hmm. And the water kind of wash that out a little bit, and you could just enjoy the flavors. And this one seemed to be diluted a little bit, and then you're left with something kind of high pitched, I think. But
interesting,
delicious, but high pitched.
So far, I have nothing bad to say about any of these.
I know they're all tasty. Okay, so now we're on to the classic lager. Still lighter, still fruity. It almost smells like it threatens to be pineapple-y, but it's not. You know, kind of...
caramel.
I'm going to get you a pineapple for Christmas.
Maybe.
That's a bad thing.
Your birthday?
You get cold then. Just saying.
Oh, yeah.
It smells a little bit like a caramel apple.
Yeah.
Yeah, the nose changed quite a bit with the water.
God, this stuff's mysterious, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny how... slight changes.
You know, who was it earlier that said it looked like we were setting up for a science experiment?
Well, there you go.
It really is. A lot of science involved, I'm sure.
I should take one real quick.
Pretty incredible. Wow, the table looks.
I actually still like it.
I do too.
I think actually the water didn't hurt this a bit. It even made it a little less bitey.
Yeah.
And it's got that.
So it wasn't horribly bitey.
No, but there was a, kind of like, little cheek.
She has a cold.
That's true.
I'm amazed at how much you're getting out of this. Yeah. Really. You're just making it up.
I was going to say, I think she's making it up.
That's right.
Very heroic of you.
But it's pretty good, you gotta admit.
I think Marlis would have to be on her deathbed not to come to Marlis.
Oh, okay, I was scared.
I have to dance tomorrow night.
No way.
Yeah. I'm like, ugh.
I hope they have
at the antique sandwich
place. That's right.
Shop.
Over there in the just down the road. I wondered about the meaning of that name.
The sandwiches aren't antique.
No, they're very
gone there a couple times. John's mama's when she lived in Puyallup, that was one of her favorite places. So when we used to visit her before we moved out here, she would take us there for lunch. And I think it's kind of like their. I think the furniture was antiques.
Yeah.
I think that's what the antique comes from. Yeah, I thought that was funny too. Yeah, or is it like old food or
this egg salad was made in 1800. In the before Washington.
And it hasn't changed a bit.
I know.
That would be kind of a little scary.
Yeah.
But apparently it's a good place because
it's a
we used
place.
To visit John's. We moved out here in 1997
from
Virginia.
Oh.
And okay. And his mom used to take us there before that, so it's been there quite some time. I'm going to guess it's probably changed hands or something, but I think it's a popular and good locale. But have an antique sandwich and let us know more.
We'll visit you in the
This classic laddie with a little bit of water in it. This is something you could enjoy in your yard in the summer too, as after you've fed all the animals and
when you're in need, it's probably something.
Yes.
After all that,
And you sit back in an Adirondack chair, and you have a little...
We have that.
With, like, one, maybe two ice cubes, and you just kind of, like, sip away.
And I'm
it's
with you.
Very tasty.
You're about 8 ounces
seems
of it.
Seems about right.
That sounds about right to me.
And the high alcohol content goes with the farms.
Yeah. I would say.
Yeah, I like that. It kind of takes the edge off of some of that.
I like it. I think we've had three very successful
scotches
today.
Oh, very tasty and very different scotches. So you've got your Jura 7 Wood, your Bunahabhan 12, and your Classic Laddie, which will give you its pedigree, but not an age statement. So,
Or maybe if you trace its pedigree, maybe you'll figure it out.
Or pages.
It may require some research.
Yeah.
I know.
Which makes it fun.
Kind of like Ancestry.com.
It's the scotch for genealogists and librarians. Which we probably have both at this table. Yeah. So there we go.
I was thinking as I looked it up, there's no such thing as an ex-librarian.
No. There is no. Once you're a librarian, always
it's
a librarian.
Like a mean, yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're going to wind this up right now. And just thank you all for listening. And... if you have any suggestions or comments, please let us know.
Please. We'd like to hear from you.
Goodbye from all of us here at the Mukai Farm and Garden from John, Judy, Marlis, Karen, and Glenda. And hope you have a wonderful week.
And now the fun begins.
Yes. And make sure to give us a, comment on us and on iTunes or whatever you listen to us from. I've had too much scotch, apparently. My grammar has gone right out the window.
You're dangling your participles.
Whatever. And leave us give us 5 stars.
Sure.
We wouldn't mind.
Stitcher.
Sure.
All right. All right.
Have Sláinte.
Sláinte.
Cheers.
Yeah.
I don't have any.
Okay.